So I want to start my comments today by going to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and I only want to cover the first seven verses here. It starts with, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain," which is the reason that by faith that God appreciated that that offering, "by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh," through his faith. I added that. Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." So my subject today is really focused around verse 7, is Noah. And this has been on my mind for a week and a day. Because a week and a day ago, Cindy and I visited the Ark replica that is in very northern Kentucky, just south of Cincinnati, not sure what town. And it was a very interesting thing to visit. It's huge, but I would say that when you walk up to it and you've seen so many large things that we've seen in the world that we have lived in, it doesn't seem quite as big as maybe it would have in that specific time. But it was quite the experience, and I want to go back again and be able to spend more time. We had to go through it. We went through it in probably about 3 or 4 hours. And we didn't get to see everything. We ended up buying a lot of books and everything about, they had plaques in all the different rooms and that sort of thing. And it was more the history that was, to me, the interesting part, and, of course, the biblical nature of it. And it was very difficult to find. I tried to assess which version of the Bible they used in many of their quotes that they had up on various signs, and, frankly, I couldn't determine. It wasn't the King James, but it wasn't most of the others that I have on my phone that I just have there for, reference, so to speak. But anyway, it's been on my mind, and what I kept thinking about during that entire walkthrough, and there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of people there. And what kept coming to mind was John 5:39. And John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The mindset that I had as I'm looking at this is all of this that we're looking at points to Jesus Christ. It is about Jesus Christ. And that can be further stated, and the scripture I just read were words that Jesus stated in 5:39. But if you also go to Luke chapter 24, some of the same theme comes across here, and we'll go to Luke 24:25. Then said he unto them, let me back up. Chapter 24, to provide context, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. That's the context. If you go down to verse 13, it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. You know, the crucifixion of Christ over the, 3 days earlier, and now the tomb is empty. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? You know, where have you been? You've missed out on all the news. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now, for the sake of time, I want to go down to verse 25 or 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. He wasn't there. And that was why they were sad. Then he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart. Now, he wasn't criticizing them in the sense of being bad people or anything, but he was pointing out, where's your belief? O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken. And of course, these would have been Jewish people, and they had the Old Testament, and the prophets, and the law, all of which pointed to Jesus Christ, including the story, I don't want to call it a story, the event of Noah and the ark. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So a parallel to exactly what I read earlier in John 5:39, the scriptures. And of course, what scriptures is Jesus referring to here? The Old Testament. The book of Moses and all the other books in the Old Testament that were written up to this point in time. There was no New Testament then. And furthermore, you can go down to verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Now he's talking to his disciples here, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they may, that they might understand the scriptures. Further understand the scriptures, because the Old Testament told the story of Jesus Christ, but not an explicitly, totally clear messages. You had to get it out of the scripture and what the underlying meanings were. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, Sonny Piles, I've heard state more than once in one of his sermons, that the verses, verse 27 that I read a moment ago, was the greatest sermon that he never heard. All right? And I think that just says it so beautifully. Can you imagine that he expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself? Opened the door of understanding to these two on the road to Emmaus, as he did for his disciples. So that's a precursor to the discussion that I want to have about Noah and his ark. Because as Cindy and I are walking around looking at this ark, and this thought over and over and over continued with me. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. And in what ways is it a picture? In many different ways it's a picture of Jesus Christ. And yet it is a momentous event. And it changed the world completely in that time, and the world that we live in today, for that matter. So what is the story? Well, if you go to Genesis chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 22, and Enoch walked with God, chapter 5, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Did we mention Enoch a little while ago in the 11th chapter? Yes, we did. And all the days of Enoch were 360 and 5 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a marvelous way to go. And those of us that are alive on this planet, when Jesus comes again, whether it's us or whoever it is in the future, will have that experience. What an incredible experience. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah. So Enoch, and this is an important point, Enoch was translated to heaven by God. Didn't see death. Enoch was the great grandfather of Noah. And the point is, and we know this because everybody in this room knows the story of Noah and the ark, at least the event and how it unfolded. But Noah was a righteous man. And the Bible tells us that in later verses. And that righteousness flowed down from his ancestry. That's where, you know, It was a continuation of righteousness amongst this ancestry. And he called his name Noah. verse 29, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Now, Noah's name means rest. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Comfort us with rest. And when you look at what happened, and I'm not going to have time to get through all of this, but if you, knowing what happened with the ark, ultimately he brought rest. Now I want to, let's move on. Verse 32. "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." In chapter 6, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." Now, what that implies in verse 2 is that there was a lot of bad behavior going on, all right? Fleshly behavior, and I'm not going to go into it. I think you can understand what kinds of things this is referring to. And the Lord was not happy with that. "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old and men of renown." Evil created more evil, bad behavior, not following the God's laws. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And unfortunately, that's the history of all mankind all the time. Starts out good, declines. And it does it in a macro sense for the whole world. It does it in individual families. It does it in individual nations. We see the greatness of the founding of the United States and the Constitution and the great thing that those men did. And I will tell you, they did it because they believed in God Almighty. That was the source of where our founding came from. Were they perfect? No, because they were flesh. But they strived to do that which was right and found a nation under God. And our Declaration of Independence states such. But what do we see? Over time, decline, decline, decline. It's exactly what happened here on a worldly basis. And I know there's nothing I'm saying here that you are not aware of, but I think it's good to review and understand how this points to Jesus Christ, because there's beautiful things in all of this. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have, it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now he did that before there were any preachers. He did that before he had any scripture. Just like Job knew that his Redeemer liveth because God put it in his heart. God chose Noah. Now, I will share with you that Noah lived to be 500 years, as I've already said at this point. And if you look at that point from Genesis 1-1, the world... From Genesis 1-1 creation, was approximately 1,650 years old, 1,650. Then you add the time that it took Noah to build the ark and that sort of thing, and you look to the end of the prophets at the Old Testament, and it's roughly another 2,000 years. So about 3,600 years into the history of the earth, that was when the last prophet in the Old Testament spoke. And then there was about 400 years of silence. And that 400 years preceded the first coming of Jesus Christ, which we're told about starting in the book of Matthew. So you take 3,600 years and the 400 years of silence, about 2,000 years from the period of time that we're talking about is when Jesus came. So the earth, roughly at this time, about 4,000 years old. And now it's been approximately another 2,000 years. And you can get all of this from the Bible. Verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. It's talking about them, the evil. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without, with pitch. That means holding the wood together and making it waterproof. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, a cubit is about 18 inches, about a foot and a half. It's measured originally from elbow to the tip of the finger. That's where a cubit came from. Now, there's also something called a royal cubit, which came sometime also at a later time, that added another width of a hand. So a cubit is somewhere between 18 and 21, 22 inches. All right? What that means is this ark is somewhere around 450 feet long, or about 450 to 525 feet long. All right? In our measurements, and to put that into more perspective, it's about 1 3/4 football fields long. Okay? And it is, as it states here, the breadth of it is 50 cubits and the height of it is 30 cubits. And it's 3 floors, 3 levels, which it states in verse 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make. Now the replica, we said, had a door, guess what, on the third floor, which was, we got our picture made there. There was a window. Now this was one of the areas I struggled with, because there were a lot of windows, but they were all at the top. There were no windows in the side. And there's a reason for that, because the window gave the occupants only one view out of that ark, and that's upward, heavenly, toward God. And that, it bothered me there wasn't just one window, but there was a series of windows, so they all kind of connected, so maybe it was one. It was a replica. Now, I want to go back and say the greatest natural task or chore in the history, in human history, at this point in time was given to Noah to go build this ark. Can you imagine building this ark? Can you even begin to imagine building something this large? And there were no power saws or any of the kinds of equipment, electric screwdrivers or any of that. And he built this huge ark. And the Bible doesn't tell us that anybody else helped him. You make the assumption maybe his sons did, but the Bible doesn't tell us that he got any help. And it took him 100 years to do this. All right? So it was a big project, right? This parallels and is a picture of Jesus Christ, who was given the biggest spiritual task in human history when he came on this planet and lived and was crucified and died and was resurrected. Very much a parallel there. All right. And when you look at the rest of what takes place with this ark, there's many, many more. Now, I will also say that Noah was a preacher. And in 2 Peter 2:5, he tells us that Noah was a preacher. And he's the first person in the history of the world that was designated as a preacher according to what the Bible's told us. Nobody else was called a preacher before Noah. And so he was living in a world with all this corruption, and he was a preacher. And he was obviously righteous because he was chosen of God. And he was delivering a message, whatever that message was that God wanted him to deliver. Now, I'm going to make note. We haven't actually gotten to the part, and I'm not going to have time. We got to the part where there are 8 souls on the ark. There are 9 souls in this church right now. 8 adults. And there were 8 souls on that ark. So it's okay that we're small. Because from those 8 souls, the rest of the world has been populated since that time. So when I said we may be small, but we're powerful in God, and you can look at this church, and I'm jumping ahead, this church is very much a type or a picture of the ark, or you say the ark is very much a picture, a type of this church. Verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Aha, but I'm going to make a promise to you, Noah. That's what a covenant is. And we know when God makes a promise, It's going to be that way, period. And thou shalt come into the ark, that thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. I don't think there should be any question about how many genders exist. Verse 20, of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every short sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. What did that just say? All these animals came to Noah. Noah and his sons didn't go round them up and herd them into the ark. God sent them there. Election. God chose those animals and put them in a mindset to go onto that ark so that Noah could keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. And again, it doesn't tell us that he got any help. It's hard to imagine that his family didn't help him with this, but the point is, Noah was doing the work. Who did all the work for us? Jesus Christ. It's another picture of Jesus. See, this whole story is about Jesus Christ. And yet, it's an event that actually happens that's momentous. That's what's so beautiful about this. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast, I'm going to skip over some of this. Let's see, verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Now, I saw some various things when we were at the replica debating about how long it took Noah to build the ark, 75 years or whatever. The Bible tells us right here it's 100 years, right? The King James Version. So it's 100 years because he was 600 years old when the flood waters came. And he was 500 back earlier in the verse that I went through earlier. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse 8, of clean beast and of beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark. The male and female, there we are, two genders, as God had commanded Noah. Now there's more to the two and two because there were a group of seven because of clean and unclean. I don't have time to go through that, but these distinctions are all important because those were there for food and sacrifices. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. So they went in, and it took a week for all this to happen. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, I want to ponder this verse. It says, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, if you study creation science, there is a belief that the earth, and the Bible supports this when you read Bible creation science, Bible-based creation science, there was tremendous amount of water above the earth. It, in essence, created a terrarium-like environment that existed. Certainly, the Garden of Eden sounds like that's what it was. All right, it didn't rain there. The dew came up from under the ground, or from the ground. I hope I'm saying that correctly. But it was a certain kind of almost perfect environment that these people lived in during this period of time. And the flood changed all that, all right, in terms of the natural landscape and what we have here. But my point is this, the water was fountains of the great deep from underneath, and the windows of heaven were opened with rain. So what happened here is this ark is surrounded by water. Surrounded. That ought to be a clue as to where this is going, but surrounded by water. So if you go to 1 Peter, and we're going to turn over to 1 Peter, chapter 3, go down about verse 19. Okay, we'll start with, 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll start with verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in the prison, which sometime were disobedient. I'll back up to verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And what that's referring to is the prison that we're in sin. All right, which is the flesh, which sometime were disobedient, meaning people, where sometimes were disobedient, his people, his children, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing within a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even, so what is he saying? Baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Noah, who's a type of Christ, a picture of Christ, a much greater picture of Christ than Adam was, because Adam, through his actions, brought sin into the world, and Noah is saving souls in a picture of Jesus Christ, who did it ultimately for us and solved the Adam problem for good. So this ark is a picture of baptism. It's surrounded by water. And these eight souls are in the ark. All right. And I'm not going to get there. The clock is just... This is such a beautiful picture of the ark, and there's so much more to be told. Verse 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Does 40 make you think of anything? 40 days that the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness? 40 days that Christ was tempted after he was baptized in the River Jordan. 40 is a number of trial and difficulty, challenges. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. Notice they were all of the same, their kind, all right? says something about evolution. And they went into the went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. So at least 15 cubits above whatever the highest mountain was. Not sure it was Mount Everest in those days. Don't know. All right. Mount Everest might have gotten bigger as a result of the flood, for all we know. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and cattle and beast and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now I've got to stop. And there's so much more here to cover. Maybe first Sunday. I don't know. But we've only really scratched the surface of this with the baptism that this ark represents. The baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The souls that are in the ark that is a type of this church, a picture of this church, the souls that are in this church that have been baptized, all right, and ultimately the picture of the new heaven and the new earth that's coming when Noah and his family step outside that ark. It all points to Jesus Christ in every way. I hope this was valuable, and we'll see if the good Lord says speak more on this on First Sunday.